Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
KMOX.
Listen anytime, anywhere.
Get the radio.com app today.
Mr. Trump has magic about him.
This is the greatest country in the world, but we do have some really stupid people.
How can I describe our leaders better than the word stupid?
This guy has magic coming out his ears.
This is the most unethical sham.
So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Now, Mark Reardon.
I've never known a guy more talented at untangling politics so that anyone can understand.
On KMOX.
Every once in a while, there's a story that comes across the newswire. It doesn't really come across the newswire. I don't even know if there is such a thing anymore. I guess there is. When I say the newswire, I'm an old-timey, old radio guy, as Chris Raby always makes fun of me. And we, you know, I would go into the radio stations I worked at 30 years ago, and you'd have AP copies spilling out of machines all over the floor, and you'd have to, you know, cut it up and separate them into entertainment and sports and news stories. But there was a story that I literally just saw here before I went on the air, and let's see. Fred put this in here for me. And
how about old Fred Bottenheimer over there,
right,
ladies and gentlemen?
Well, I'll tell you what, I can depend on Fred, because my other producer, Dave Klein's about on this ridiculous notion of paternity leave, because his wife, who will actually have the baby, he gets 4 weeks off for some reason. Stupid. Anyway, here's the story. Michael Gandolfini, the son of James Gandolfini, I'm still just tore up that he died several years ago, is going to play Tony Soprano in The Many Saints of Newark. That's a prequel to The Sopranos. I didn't know about that. Was that something? When did that come out, the whole prequel thing? Anyway, I had no idea. The Sopranos prequel, produced by New Line Cinema. I think it's going to be a movie, too, right? Will also star Alessandro Nivola, no idea, Vera Farmiga, love her, John Bernthal, who's on The Walking Dead, and he's in The Punisher. Really good. Corey Stoll is really good. Billy Magnuson, so great cast. Gandolfini died, you want to put a date on that? 2013. Oh, man. 2013 at 51. And we just had the Sopranos was in the news, I guess, last week because of the 25th anniversary or the 20th anniversary? It might have been the 20th anniversary. So, and this guy, I did not know this, Michael Gandolfini, his son is on The Deuce, which is on HBO. I watched a few of those. I think I watched most of the first season, then I lost interest. Let me just start with a couple of stories. You know, there's all kinds of important things to get to, but I'm just going to rattle off some of the things that are on my mind this afternoon before we get to the important business of the government shutdown and other things this afternoon. Here's a headline for you. Woman shot after performing sex act for $5 and some Pringles. A Florida woman who agreed to perform a sex act in exchange for $5 and some Pringles ended up with a bullet wound instead. I think this whole thing would have played out differently if we were talking Ruffles. The incident occurred late Monday evening outside a gas station in Jacksonville. Police responding to a report that someone had been shot found the unidentified woman on the ground with a bullet to the shoulder. She told them that a man had offered to pay her the money and give her some potato chips if she performed a, quote, sex act on him. We can all use our imaginations there, right? After he handed her a $5 bill, she fulfilled her part of the bargain. But that's when the deal went south. The woman told police after she finished, the man took back the $5, pulled out a gun, and shot her. There's no word on whether she got the Pringles. That's perhaps my favorite part of the story. Now, I'll get to the shutdown stuff here because we have Illinois Congressman Ronnie Davis coming up, and the president has commented on Nancy Pelosi once again saying he's not allowed to do the State of the Union. But I have to touch a little bit here on some stories that we've been talking about a lot, including the Kevin Steinkrause story. So far, he has not been let go. I don't think this has been resolved. I'm still sick about it. I just can't believe we had John Gaskin on from the NAACP yesterday. I guess I'm somewhat encouraged that the powers that be over at Fox 2 have not decided to, you know, get rid of Kevin at this point for this ridiculous. It was a slip up. You know, one of the things that really annoys me the more I think about it is the way that the Post-Dispatch has written about this story, saying that, you know, news anchor inserted a racial slur. He didn't insert anything. He misspoke. He made a mistake. He stumbled over the word. That's all it was. Anyone with common sense knows this. I don't care if you're black or white. Sorry for those of you who think it was somehow intentional. Look, John Gaskin even admitted it wasn't intentional, but that doesn't matter because we have to draw a line somewhere when it comes to ruining someone's life and career. Doesn't matter what the facts are. We still have to move forward with the racial politics, the identity politics, the faux outrage, all this stuff. And then there's the story with the Covington Catholic kids, which continues to get out of control. Kathy Griffin, I should tell you something right there, tweeted out a picture, she deleted it, showing a bunch of people from Covington Catholic basketball players on the team's bench celebrating, using their hands to make the OK sign. Remember the OK sign where the irresponsible editors and reporters at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch did the hit piece on the kid from Ladue because he used the OK symbol and that was deemed racist, right? The white supremacy sign, which is bogus anyway. The whole thing was made up. So you got these kids on the bench for Covington Catholic. One of their teammates hits a three-pointer and they're signaling three-pointer. And she puts a tweet up. Let's see if I can read it. I don't know if I have the actual tweet here. Somebody screen captured it. Anyway, basically, it says something about a white supremacy symbol. Then there's this thing going out on the, and I talked about that in terms of the blackface yesterday. So everyone was upset because there's this picture of these kids on their blackout game and they were wearing full body makeup. It wasn't just on their face with stripes and was the basketball team and the blackout. The Mizzou does the same thing with the blackout day, but that's racist too. And then there's this allegation that Julie Sandman and her son is the one that was at the, you know, focus of all this. In fact, he was interviewed by Savannah Guthrie on the Today Show. We have some of that audio for later today. But Snopes had to debunk this today. Did Julie Sandman say she wished pioneers had brought more blankets with smallpox? Because this is another thing that's going out there, that somehow she put up on Facebook that after what I've been through in the past 36 hours, I only wish the pioneers had brought more blankets with smallpox. There, I said it. Crucify me. Well, it wasn't her that said that. It was photoshopped in. It was not in any way, shape, or form accurate, but somebody put it out there, and then it gets spread. And by the way, this is something that's a problem, I think, on Facebook with people from both political parties, and I've talked about this ever since 2016. You see something, and you hear something, and I think this is really at the core and the crux of what happened with the Covington Catholic kids. You think you know what happened because you see a picture or you see someone tweet it out or put it on Facebook, and you may even deep down say, well, I don't know if this is true, but I don't care. I'm going to put it out there anyway. That's being irresponsible. I always cited this one example from the election where there was somebody, I will not name this person's name, who I know who was on Facebook and was not a Hillary Clinton supporter, put up a story. And when she posted the story about Hillary Clinton, which, by the way, was one of those that was not true, it was fake news, she said, well, you know, I don't know if this is true, but, well, you know, don't do that. Don't put something up. I don't know if this is true, but how about we don't do that? Even if you're not a journalist, you kind of be responsible with your posts on social media. I don't know. Seems like a, you know, reasonable request for people, but they won't do that. Government shutdown update from Rodney Davis coming up, but here is the latest. Nancy Pelosi has told the president, do not come and do the State of the Union in the House chamber next week. Now, this is a little hard to hear. The audio of Nancy Pelosi, the president has responded to, but this is the Speaker of the House talking about why she disinvited the president.
Because government is closed, and he said very clearly from the start, when I wrote to him a second time to say, since government is shut down, we do not, let's work together on a mutually agreeable date, and we can welcome you to the Capitol to get a State of the Union address. Government is still shut down. I still make the offer as working mutually agreeable date as the original date was mutually agreeable.
All right, you can't really hear that, but basically she's saying if you open the government, then we'll talk about it. But if the government shut down, you are not coming to do the State of the Union. So here's the president.
Mr. President, Nancy Pelosi just responded and she said she will not consider a concurrent resolution to have you come to the House on January 29th to deliver your State of the Union. Your response to the House Speaker.
I'm not surprised. It's really a shame what's happening with the Democrats. They've become radicalized. They don't want to see crime stop, which we can very easily do on the southern border. And it really is a shame what's happening with the Democrats. This will go on for a while. Ultimately, the American people will have their way because they want to see no crime. They want to see what we're doing. Like today, we lowered prescription drug prices first time in 50 years. They want to see that. The Democrats would never have been able to do that. So we're all working very hard. We'll have to respond to it. We'll respond to it in a timely manner. Thank you very much, everybody.
All right, so the other story that the CNNs of the world are all frothed up about today is apparently, and I'm very disappointed about this because I think it would have been fascinating political theater, would have made my job a whole lot easier and been immensely entertaining. Michael Cohen was supposed to go before Congress and testify. Now he's backing off on that, saying and citing threats from the president and Rudy Giuliani. There's another funny Giuliani story today, too. See if I can find that. I got stuff everywhere. I have stuff everywhere. Some people are worried about Giuliani because they think he's, oh, here it is. Trump allies want Giuliani sidelined because they think he drinks before TV hits. Maybe he needs to drink. I'd hate to see it. What happens if he doesn't drink before TV hits, if he is drinking before TV hits. This is Mediaite. There are more reports that Donald Trump is fuming about Rudy Giuliani's recent performance in interviews, including an Associated Press story that says some Trump allies think Giuliani should not be allowed to do nighttime interviews because they suspect he's drinking before going on national TV. Politico reported that Trump is apoplectic over Giuliani's increasingly erratic public presence, even for Rudy Giuliani. But the report says Trump has no plans to fire Giuliani. So Michael Cohen is saying that Giuliani is threatening him and his family. And here's what they're citing right now. This is Rudy on with Jake Tapper over the weekend. This has to do with his father-in-law.
The president is repeatedly calling publicly on Judge Jeanine's show, on Twitter. He's repeatedly calling for an investigation into Michael Cohen's father-in-law ahead of Michael Cohen's testimony before Congress. By your own definition, isn't that obstruction or attempting to intimidate a witness?
No. Now, if you made that obstruction, I can't defend anybody.
To say
you're telling me
this
you're
guy is testifying against
wait,
me, his father-in-law
Jake,
should be telling him it's okay to go after the father-in-law.
Now, of course it is. If the father-in-law is a criminal, his father-in-law is a Ukrainian. His father-in-law
that's
has millions and millions. Of course it's not. I'm telling you, it comes from the Ukraine. The reason that's important is he may have ties to something called organized crime.
So that was deemed a threat. The president was asked about that today.
Right. Well, I would say he's been threatened by the truth. He's only been threatened by the truth, and he doesn't want to do that, probably for me or other of his clients. He has other clients also, I assume, and he doesn't want to tell the truth for me or other of his clients.
Does he have other clients? I thought he was just representing the president. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Illinois Congressman Rodney Davis on the State of the Union and the shutdown. Fred Backus from CBS News. Some new polling, which is rather revealing and somewhat troubling, as you might remember, or at least believe if you hear these numbers when it comes to the president. And we'll talk about a bunch of other stuff, including an audio cut of the day, an update on the MLS expansion too. Lots to get to this afternoon on the Mark Reardon Show. Hang in there.
It's not just talk.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's thought-provoking talk. Mark Reardon on KMOX.
Not too early to start talking about the Reardon Roundtable on Friday. We have Jane Duker booked, Missouri State Senator Bill Eigel, and the former chief of staff for Mayor Slay. I call him former, Jeff Rainford, all here on Friday afternoon, almost a Tuesday. We're going backwards in time, which is not a good thing. We are joined this afternoon by Illinois Congressman Rodney Davis, talking about the shutdown, the State of the Union, and much more. Rodney, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. I feel sorry for you, man. Sorry about your Chiefs.
That was a tough one, wasn't it?
Well, now you know, as a Raider fan, how I feel about the tuck rule, but yours was kind of self-imposed with the guy lining up offsides.
Well, look, here, I said this the last couple of days, and I'll make it clear again. I do not blame the refs for any of this. I blame the Chiefs for not having a championship-caliber defense. And, you know, it's tough to put a championship team together. And I got to give, I know everyone hates Tom Brady and the Patriots. I'm not a big fan, but you have to respect what they're able to accomplish. But now, you know, we're left in a situation again where I have no interest in watching the Super Bowl.
You're one of those fans. Come on, it's football.
You got to watch
the Super Bowl.
No,
you know,
I will. I've said this over the years, but it's tough, and you know this because you're a fan of sports, but you get so emotionally invested, and, you know, this shouldn't happen logically or rationally, but that game ends the other night. I just popped the TV off right away, and then I sulked, you know?
Well, you know, just because of your emotional immaturity doesn't mean every other football fan's that way, Mark.
Well, at least you're assessing this honestly, and I appreciate that. All right, so let me play you a couple of sound bites here from some members over in the Senate, because the Senate has a plan. You guys apparently are going to get another plan from the Democrats. We'll get your take on where this is. But here's Marco Rubio. Here's what he said.
The way this thing should work is the Senate takes up this bill. Democrats will have a chance on the floor to amend it. It will then hopefully pass. It would be sent over to the House, where Speaker Pelosi would take it up. She would make changes. But this isn't going to end unless both sides are willing to compromise. The president has come to the table. If you don't like his offer, our system creates a process by which you can change it. But the Speaker's position seems to be that she demands the unconditional surrender of the president on every position involving the shutdown. That's unreasonable. It's illogical. It's irrational.
All right, so, Congressman, the Senate's going to vote on these dueling proposals, one from Republicans that would give the president money for the wall, one from Democrats that would reopen the government through February 8th with no wall money, and that would give folks a little time to talk it over again. I think there is a consensus that both will not reach the 60-vote threshold needed in the Senate, so then it doesn't get to you guys in the House. So then where are we left right now?
Well, we're left in the exact same spot we are. Look, Marco's right when he talks about this needs to be a principled compromise. The only way this shutdown is going to end is like the shutdowns I've been a part of, unfortunately, over the last 6.5 years serving in Congress. It's going to take the leadership from the White House, which I believe they have shown leadership. They were asked last week to put more on the table than $5.7 billion for a border fence and $6.1 billion in humanitarian and other immigration issues that would have been paid for that many Democrats had supported in the past. And President Trump did that this weekend, Mark. He came out and he said, look, we'll find a path for a good portion of the DACA kids and Dreamers that many Democrats have said they wanted. Nancy Pelosi gave the longest speech ever on the House floor about protecting our DACA kids and our Dreamers, and now she has a chance to at least talk to the president about it. He put out the olive branch, and it's still crickets. This will be solved when Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer stop their boycott of going to the White House to even discuss options and offers that they have yet to put on the table.
But there seems to be this notion that if you put DACA into the mix, and I do think you're going to have something, you know, for both sides to kind of get their arms around, but if you give these DACA recipients, the Dreamers, 700,000 of them, apparently, you know, a path to green cards and citizenship, then a lot of folks on the hard right are going to say, no, we're not going for that because that's amnesty.
Well, it's clearly not amnesty, in my opinion. As a matter of fact, I think if you put a good compromise together and the president is behind it when it comes to our DACA kids and Dreamers, who he even in the last State of the Union a year ago said he wanted to do this for our DACA population and our Dreamers. So this is a priority for the president. This is one that the president can then put on the table like he has. But if Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are going to be coming up on a month since they even went to the White House, that's unfortunate. That doesn't show that they have a desire to compromise at all. And frankly, that's not going to help our 800,000 federal workers get paid. It's not going to help our TSA agents that are working without a paycheck, our air traffic controllers that are working without a paycheck, our prison guards that are working without a paycheck, and our Border Patrol agents. And this back and forth, a bill in the House that sends to the Senate when they know that's not going to go anywhere, a Senate bill, even if it made it to the House, Nancy Pelosi's not going to call it up. Come on, quit playing the games, grow up, go to the White House, sit across from the president who's made a good faith effort and a good faith offer, and come up with a compromise to end this thing. It can be done in minutes.
But don't you think that the politics of this is such that, I'm going to talk a little bit later this hour, Rodney, about the polling, and you guys are getting crushed in that right now. I think more people in this country blame the Republicans. Now, again, if you kind of dig into the nuances of the polling, it shows that both Republicans and Democrats don't want their side to give in. But are you concerned that dragging this out even further? I'm not suggesting that the president, the Republicans cave, but if you're getting hammered over this, you got people with no paychecks, you have, you know, now this story about the IRS and maybe refunds aren't going to be there, that's going to really draw some attention.
Well, it is, and it should. This is crazy. We should never have gotten to this point. You know, the president, in my opinion, made some tactical errors in December, listened to some bad advice. I think he did. But the president and the White House, and I can tell you this from my personal experience going over there last week after, you know, I spoke to you right after that meeting,
that's right,
Mark.
Yep.
And I've been consistent. The president and the White House and the administration are the only ones putting offers on the table. The leadership from the Democrats in the House and the Senate, Nancy Pelosi, who now runs the House, she has a responsibility to govern and not just sit back and complain. That's part of her job now. She is the Speaker. She needs to go back to the White House and even offer something, and she has yet to do that. And I think the American people are going to see through this, Mark, and if she wants to continue this, I think they're going to see that it takes an offer. Even Democrats, many freshman Democrats who came in wanting to work with us on issues have told her, at least go make an offer.
Yeah.
You have Steny Hoyer, who's her number one lieutenant, saying that border structures work. The chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, a good friend of mine, Colin Peterson, said, go make an offer. So I think both sides are going to get criticism, and they should.
But do you think that there is more likely a temporary solution, in other words, where the government reopens and then you go back and you try to negotiate something, or that this just has to be, you know, fixed right now, or the president's not going to sign anything?
You know, I voted for three bills a couple of weeks ago that were put on the floor that would have funded for the entire year our transportation, housing, urban development departments. It would have funded our Department of Interior, our National Park Service to open the arch again. It would have also funded our USDA employees. You know, I wrote a farm bill. We need to have people working in USDA to implement that farm bill. Those were year-long spending measures. I voted for them. I was one of 10 or 12 Republicans on those bills that voted for those bills. But when Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats in the House put up these short-term funding bills to say, reopen the government and we'll talk, you know what that means to me? It means that in 10 days when this short-term bill goes by the wayside, we're going to be right back at another shutdown. We've offered right now, we offered through one of our bills that Democrats voted against, all but I think six of them, that we would have immediately paid all the back pay to workers who have been working and have missed paychecks. And it's issues like this that tell me that we're not going to see a solution if we just kick the can down the road further. Come to the table. All Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer have to do, Mark, go to the White House again. Go talk to the president. He's moved. He's done what many didn't think he would do. He's moved on DACA. He's moved on the issues. Go make an offer.
All right. One more question before I let you go. 1 week from today, on next Wednesday afternoon, will we be talking about the previous night and the State of the Union address in the halls and the hallowed chambers of Congress or not?
I think it'll go off on as planned. The president wants it to go on as planned. The only reason that it wouldn't, Mark, is if the far left has just convinced Speaker Pelosi that they want to send a message to President Trump and disrupt what we've seen every year.
Well, you don't think that they're going to do that,
Republic.
Though? I would think that they would love to do that.
Yeah, it's all politics. I got asked where they should hold it if Nancy Pelosi won't come to her senses and let the president speak on the House floor on January 29th. And I said, go to the old state capitol in Springfield, Illinois, where Lincoln gave his House Divided speech, and talk about how government has become so divided, and here's what I'm doing to try and fix it.
See, that would be great. And then you, of course, would swing the president over here to KMOX right after the speech, too.
Oh, yeah, we just drop in right on the, you know, Air Force One heliport on top of the...
Take an Uber.
The palatial studios you have there.
Keep it low-key. Take an Uber. Illinois Congressman Rodney Davis, we'll see where this takes us. Rodney, thanks for joining us, and keep us updated.
Thanks, buddy. Take care, Mark.
I'm going to open up the phone lines here, 436-7900, on the issue of the shutdown and where this is heading right now, and who do you blame, and also on the issue of DACA. And I'll get into that in just a little bit, what the offer might be on the table and whether that's a good deal for the president. 436-7900. So Axios is reporting, and there's been some pushback to this amongst some conservatives, and you know, you got the Ann Coulters and the Sean Hannitys of the world weighing in sometimes on this, would make, you know, that's what makes it kind of hot for the president. New immigration idea has been circulating over the past 24 hours at senior levels inside the White House and on Capitol Hill. Give a path to green cards to the 700,000 current DACA recipients. Three sources familiar with the conversation tell Axios. Republican senators, including James Lankford of Oklahoma, have advocated for this, and Jared Kushner is sort of the point man on this. But here's the concern. If you throw this, what they're talking about is like a three-year green card period for the Dreamers, for the DACA recipient. These are people who were, you know, in this country through no fault of their own, brought here by their parents, and they were children. So is this amnesty or not? Well, depends on the definition of amnesty, I guess. In theory, this would offer them a path to permanent residency, but not full citizenship. That it might just be semantics. But again, I don't think everyone's on board with this. 436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. The shutdown seems like it's going to go on forever. There's no end in sight. Nancy Pelosi has now once again said, President Trump, you're not coming to the House to do the State of the Union. Chris, you're on KMOX. Good afternoon.
Hi, Mark. It's really hard to know where to start, but you know, words and sentences and statements mean something. Mexico was supposed to pay for the wall. Now they're not. So, you know, where did that ever come from? Then the Republicans had control of all houses for 2 years. They never put the wall in there up for a vote. Now it hasn't even been put into the budget. The president pulls us out, you know, and says, I want a wall. And he said, the mantle of responsibility is on my shoulder. So we've got Mexico's paying for it. The mantle of responsibility is on my shoulder. Then he throws a fit and walks out of the meeting with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. Then he cancels her flight in a tantrum. And so, you know, the House chamber is not a Trump property. They are co-equal branches of the government. And when he plays these little games, you know, I don't.
Why is it just the president playing games? Why do you describe it as the president throwing a tantrum when Nancy and Chuck come to the room and they say, we're not willing to put even a dollar on the table for border security? I would have walked out, too.
That is not the fact. The fact is that they are in support of border security, just not a wall.
Well, what does that mean?
That means
because you have plenty. Look, Kristen Gillibrand, I might even have this tape here, but you have examples of members of the Senate in particular who in 2013 voted for some of the same things that the Republicans are asking for right now. But of course, because of politics, and look, I've always been very honest about this. The Republicans do this stuff too with playing political games. But right now, this is not about opening the government or solving the border crisis. It's about politics and trying to make Donald Trump look bad on the part of the Democrats.
Well, he does look bad because he canceled the plane. He said that he was going to take the full mantle of responsibility for this. I mean, where do these statements finally put a stake in the ground where he's responsible for these statements?
Yeah, well, I think that the ordinary answer to that would be with most presidents, it would have already happened by now because the polling is showing overwhelmingly that this is not going well for the president. However, that polling does kind of also show that nobody wants him to cave in if you're on the Republican side. So it's tricky. I don't know what the end game is here, really, because I don't think anyone's willing to give up enough to make this happen. And even if the president's willing to negotiate, put DACA on the table, which I think is a common sense move at this point, some of the Republicans in the House and the Senate won't go for it. You know, on the comment that you made about the wall and the funding and the budget, look, the numbers were different. You know, the Republicans had control, but the numbers were different. They have a little bit more of a majority in the Senate right now, but you know that you couldn't just push through anything that you wanted. We saw what happened with Brett Kavanaugh, even with moderate members of the Senate. So there are tricky math numbers to work with in the Senate in particular, even now with a slightly increased majority. Mike, you're next on KMOX.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
Good. I like this. And as for the last caller, if I was Trump, I would absolutely take credit for shutting down the government.
Why do you like it? So you said you like it. Why do you like it?
Because we're shrinking the government.
No, we're not shrinking anything. How are we shrinking the government? Believe me, we're not shrinking the government. We're expanding the government. Just temporarily shutting down the government, not paying people, is not shrinking the government.
Leave it. Just walk away.
Just walk away from what?
Walk away and leave it shut down.
Well, what would you say to members of the Coast Guard who are not getting paid right now?
You're going to have to look for a new job.
Well, that's pretty cold-hearted. I got to tell you, Mike, I don't know that anyone would want to follow that path, but I guess that's where people are right now. Dan, you're on KMOX.
Yeah, hi. I think that what's happening here is that there's a failure to communicate. These guys are just complete idiots. They're just fighting in bread with one another. And they're not reaching across the table to say, hey, let's do what's best for this country. And one of the things that I think Pelosi's failing to realize is the illegal immigrants in this country are costing us $116 billion a year with medical benefits, with food stamps, with everything that, we're giving them is costing us $116 billion a year. Now, $5 billion is a drop in a bucket to that compared to even our national debt. Why can't they just get along? Look at the state of Illinois. I mean, this is a junk state. One-party rule for the most part, or just absolutely egregious politicians. We need to get rid of these people and hire good politicians.
But you know what, Dan, I don't disagree with you, but here's where we're going to say this. What you just said, we're going to say a bunch of times next year into 2020. It's like Groundhog Day. I've been doing this for, you know, 30 years, well, longer than that, but 27 years in talk radio. We're always talking about how we need to do better. We need better people. And these are not the folks that are in Washington or Springfield or Jeff City who really necessarily are doing things in our best interest, but it never changes. So why would you think it's going to change now?
If you know, the thing that is, we need term limits. We need to get rid of these people that aren't for us. We need to shorten their tenure in office. We need to eliminate all these special funding that they're getting from all these big interest groups. I mean, I thought the Supreme Court was an idiot. They were stupid for doing that. I mean, very intelligent people were saying this. You know, we just need to have term limits so that
they seem like they seem like an easy answer. But let me tell you from experience. Did you say you live in Illinois?
Nothing's an easy answer.
Well, but are you in Illinois? Did you say?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, I can understand why you want term limits there, and maybe there's certainly some benefit to term limits. But what we've discovered here in Missouri is that when you have less experienced people, it's pros and cons, right? You don't get the corruption, the level of corruption that we used to get with guys like Bob Griffin and others in the State House in Jeff City, some of the things that you guys have problems with Mike Madigan. But then you have people that are switching out so often, there's truly no leadership and experience when it comes to solving big issues. And some of these issues like infrastructure and making sure government works, making sure that people who are, you know, working for our safety get paid. And that's where you shouldn't be playing politics. I think both sides are to blame here. The government is in, I think at this point, no sooner will they open up than we thought earlier in the day. I mean, I think this thing's going to drag on for a while because no one's willing to give an inch. Sarah, you're on KMOX.
Yeah. Hey, the gentleman before me pretty much said everything I was going to say. However, I am a federal government employee and I will continue to miss checks if President Trump will get something done at the border. Because I have children and I pay a lot in taxes and it gets old paying for people that shouldn't be here. I don't even care if the amnesty, you know, people, we can do something and get them to give them amnesty, but we got to do something where we shut. I mean, people coming in, it's crazy. We watch it. And nobody does anything about it.
But you're saying that are you missing checks right now?
Yes. Uh-huh. And I have to be at work. Matter of fact, I'm on my lunch break at the moment.
Okay. But you're okay. Yes. I just want to make sure I understand your position. But you're okay with it because it's an important issue.
It's a very important issue. I live in Illinois. We have, I'm not going to call people names. We just hired in a governor that wants to legalize marijuana. I mean, what happened to the Say No to Drugs campaign? It's just like people's lost their...
Wow, you're getting off on a tangent here. And look, the way of the world is we're legalizing marijuana. You either get on board with that or you don't. But I think here's what I would say. Thanks for the call. Who said this on Twitter? I was just citing this earlier. You know, the Super Bowl refused this marijuana, the medicinal marijuana ad. And somebody... Oh, it was Chris Long. used to be here in St. Louis, tweeted something to the effect like, yeah, do you not see, you know, the irony in Anheuser-Busch and Miller and all these other craft brewers and liquor companies pouring money into football in the Super Bowl, but you can't do it for medicinal marijuana? That's just silly. Sorry, I go off on the marijuana topic because if you think that legalizing marijuana, even non-medicinal, recreational, is going to create more problems than the already legal alcohol in society, then I think you're already smoking weed because it's not. And everyone needs to calm down on that. So there you go. Mary, you're on Cam Wex. Go ahead.
Hi, yes. Trump started it in that news conference on TV. He said he was proud to start the furlough, the shutdown. But you had three houses, the Senate, the Congress, and the White House. And now you got a bull and a cow butting heads, and neither one will get together and compromise on the furlough situation.
Well, I think the president actually is. If he's putting DACA on the table, if that's true, then I think he's willing to compromise.
Well, I agree. But previously, nobody was doing anything. Nancy wanted to go off to Afghanistan and get away from the situation. Everybody wanted to take vacations, and nobody wanted to talk. You can't solve the situation if nobody wants to talk.
Well, I don't think I could argue with you on that. I think that right now the Democrats are hoping that the pressure of the polling and the negative reaction and people not getting their paychecks, and unfortunately those people who work for the Coast Guard or TSA or whoever else might be affected directly by this and not getting their pay, and they will get back pay, but still it doesn't account for, you know, everything they're going through right now. If they have to slap things up on credit cards, it's a hardship. But if the Democrats are simply going to play a waiting game and just hope that the pressure gets too hot on the White House and then they cave, then that's not going to be a good result for anyone. Mark, you're on KMOX. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. I just wanted to say that the media and the government has passed a tipping point now where we are in just total dysfunction. I mean, we're arguing over border security, which should be a no-brainer for a federal government.
And let me stop you there. Was a no-brainer for many of the same people arguing against it right now a few years ago.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. We passed it. I mean, the whole thing doesn't even make any sense anymore. It's illogical. I mean, we're talking about the Republicans put up a bill last week in the House to expand the federal employees that would be getting paid, and the Democrats didn't vote for it. I didn't even hear it on the media, and I do a lot of media.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of games going on right now. So this is going to up the ante, though, with Pelosi saying no State of the Union. So we'll see what the response eventually is from the White House. Cindy, you're on KMOX.
Hey, Mark. I've been listening to everybody talking, and I agree that both sides are just not willing to budge. It's really sad because if we look back in our history, compromise is what made our country the great country it is. When they were starting the government in the beginning, they were willing to work, and it wasn't easy. But I don't know what to say anymore. I feel so bad for the people who are not working, and eventually it's going to affect all of us in different ways if people don't get their refunds and they were going to go out and buy a car or put money on a car or do something, and so they don't spend money because they don't have it. Things are going to slow down for
everybody.
Yeah,
well, you know, and I don't know if that, you're right. There is going to be an economic impact. How significant will it be? But you can always count on the adults in the room, Cindy, I say with my tongue firmly planted in cheek, because, yeah, they're going to continue the games, and I think a lot of people are going to be left out and just suffer from this without an end in sight. Kim, you're going to get the final word on this. Go.
All right. I would like to use your 50,000 watts to get everybody thinking about the solution to most of the problems we've talked about today, except for the pot. That's not a problem. And that is a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution.
Hear, hear. I completely and fully support that, Kim, and I'm glad that you brought it up.
Yeah, it's the end of government shutdowns. They could never shut the government down again because they would be required to use a balanced budget every year. That ends the games. That ends talks about the wall and every other little thing that they decide that they want to try and negotiate over. It eliminates them playing games with our money. throw in term limits there, and we're almost in heaven.
Yeah, well, I think people don't realize that you do have states like Missouri where it is constitutionally mandated that you have to have a balanced budget. And sure, we're going to argue about things and go around in circles in the next couple of months in somewhat of a boring fashion in Jefferson City. But in the end, they have to put a budget before the governor for him to sign that is balanced, or it's unconstitutional. So this is something that gets tossed around in Washington. But let me tell you this, it's unrealistic, and I wish it was, because there's no draining of the swamp that's going on in Washington. And you truly would have to drain the swamp significantly to get that issue even, you know, on a ballot somewhere to talk about.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.